All right. Well, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, as we've been covering, officially put himself in the running for the 2024 presidential elections in the United States. Our press viewer, Diptyka Laurent, is here to take a look. I imagine the press is having a ball with this, Dipti.
That's right. Ron DeSantis is officially a Republican presidential candidate for the 2024 elections in the U.S. It's on the front page of the Miami Herald today. There you go. DeSantis makes his presidential bid official, it says on its front page, a bid that, of course, will put him in direct confrontation with former U.S. President Donald Trump, who was at one time one of DeSantis's mentors, and upon whose sort of reactionary politics DeSantis himself has sort of fashioned his own. Now, Florida, for the Miami Herald's editors, will be really the price, will be paying the price for DeSantis's presidential run. Florida will be the first victim of these cultural wars launched by DeSantis's governor, the paper saying, for whom there is no enemy too big or too small, from Disney to vulnerable transgender kids, teachers, diversity programs, or abortion rights. What a duel it'll be, the editors say, rather sardonically in their editorial today, between Donald Trump, found liable of sexual assault, and DeSantis, who has pushed the most hateful and extreme political agenda of any recent Florida governor. Aaron.
Now, we've spoken about DeSantis getting roasted for technical issues on Twitter, which affected his presidential launch. There's also a lot of focus, though, on his wife, Casey DeSantis, who could be somewhat of a mitigating force for his campaign. Tell us more.
Indeed, there's a lot of interest in that, in her as a person. This is in the Daily Telegraph today. Why she may be a double-edged sword in her husband's presidential campaign. Now, the Daily Telegraph says she could be a sort of charismatic counterbalance to Ron DeSantis, who is rather socially awkward. She's been described as smart, talented, a former newsreader with a flair for PR. She could be crucial in framing the sort of warm family aesthetic that is often so crucial to any U.S. presidential campaign. She's a mother, a wife, a breast cancer survivor, a career woman. All of this could work in favor. But the reason they say it's a double-edged sword is because she's also, she's got, according to some at least, blind ambition that could be her husband's Achilles heel, notably because of her strong influence over his political decisions and the couple's general mistrust of outsiders that has already led them to commit a few early missteps, the Telegraph says.
All right, well, Dipti, either way, no matter who it is, the next president will no doubt continue dealing with U.S.-Chinese diplomatic relations, which are at an all-time low. Foreign Policy Today looking at how underwater cables are becoming the new Cold War.
Yeah, it's an article well worth reading if you have the time. It's basically about subsea cables that travel through risky waters to connect pretty much every country in the world to internet communication. So you can imagine if you don't have access to these subsea cables and you are pretty much cut off from the rest of the world. Now, the foreign policy explains that more cables will be needed in the future, but new pipelines are stalling because of politics, because of diplomacy. For instance, China has been slow to approve new cables in the South China Sea. The U.S., meanwhile, is worried about China spying through the cables, so much so that it has denied permission for four subsea cables traveling between the U.S. and Hong Kong. The cables are really a peace project. They arrived at the end of the Cold War. They're not fashioned to be constantly patrolled, but deteriorating relations between notably the U.S. and China mean they've become a sort of diplomatic weapon, if you like. It's well worth a read in Foreign Policy Today.
We'll change gears now, Dipti, because tributes are flooding the front pages of the press today, worldwide, really, after the death of the Queen of Rock. That's Tina Turner at the age of 83.
Yeah, simply the best. That's how the New York Daily News puts on its front page. A lot of papers using this headline today to describe the passing of Tina Turner at the age of 83 in her in Switzerland. Always the Queen. That's how the Washington Post puts it on its front page. A lovely black and white image of Tina Turner. They say her life was full of success, but also heartbreak and revival. She was this show-stopping sensation whose story inspired everyone. And in the Post as well, you'll find a wonderful article about Tina Turner's legacy, how she trailed the path for so many women and basically invented power dressing. The Post says dressing for Tina Turner was never about being sexy. It was about her power, her voice, and her irrepressible energy, it says.
And that's not all, Dipti. She was visibly a woman of many talents and also had a very strong and unlikely connection to Australia's rugby league.
That's right. It was an unlikely love affair, Erin, that started in the late 80s, early 90s between Tina Turner. And you can imagine how incongruous this was. She was this strong black musician, a woman, and between her and what was at least at the time a very white masculine world of Australian rugby league. The Sydney Morning Herald today recalls how the rugby league authorities managed to snag Tina Turner for what would become the first of many commercials that she shot for the league. It was part of a risky bid to entice more women to watch rugby, and they used their partnership with Tina Turner to great fruition, actually, in the end. It really paid off. She forever became associated with Australian Rugby League. She even performed Simply the Best at a Rugby League Grand Final in 1993. She even performed a commercial atop the Sydney Harbour Bridge, Erin, in stilettos and without a harness, a sort of commercial that became iconic over the years and really a true testament to the kind of performer that she was. Let's just leave you with a little bit of that there. There she is performing on the on Sydney Harbour Bridge without a harness.
Certainly did lose an icon. Dipti Gilleron, thank you very much for the press review. Well, that's all we have for you for this edition. Stay with us here on France 24. I'll be back in a few minutes with